Every year for the last few years, I've been very fortunate to be invited by Rakshit Prabhu to come and talk on Govardhan Pooj. I feel very blessed for that. Govardhan Pooj is a special day because it reminds us of many, many things in Krishna consciousness that are important for us to remember. So we'll talk about the story of events as they unfolded in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But first, let's talk about what the Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the shloka, Janmadyas yataha anvayari taratascha arteshu abhignya swarat. So the material in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam, are about the creator of the universe. It is about Janma yasya yataha, from whom all of this has come, from whom everything has come. It is a discussion about God. That is the topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And since it is by the author of the Vedanta Sutra, it is considered by the learned persons to be a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Veda means knowledge and Anta means the end. So Vedanta Sutra means the end of all knowledge and real knowledge, not transient knowledge, not temporary knowledge. And so the Srimad Bhagavatam is a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Because even after writing down and espousing the Vedanta Sutra, still Vedavyas was unhappy. And Narad Muni told him, because you have not had an opportunity to expand on the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam are about that. Now, we must understand that Krishna, avajananti mamudha manusim tanamasrita, he is not an ordinary person like you and I. He is not an ordinary person like you and I. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that those who consider him to be an ordinary person, they're fools and rascals. Mudhas, fools. You see? So Krishna consciousness is not a sentimental, arbitrary, transcendental or religious process. I remember many years ago looking some of the Indian spiritualists, they will use Dr. Radhakrishna and his Gita and this Lady Ma. I looked at her books actually. And they say, oh, you use this Krishna for focusing on, but later on you become God. Or you transcend that. And this is the Mayavad impersonalist conception. It is a mistaken conception. We know from the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna, after Krishna revealed his Virata Purush, his universal form, to Arjuna, then Arjuna asked Krishna to assume his original form again. And then Krishna appeared first in his four-handed form, and then he appeared in his two-handed form with flute, which is his original form. And then Arjuna, what did he say? He said, Param Brahma, Param Dama, Pavitram Paramam Bhavam, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum, Ahushtvang Rishaksarve, like this. That Krishna, you are not ordinary by any means. You are Param Brahma. You are the Supreme Spirit. You are Param Dhamma. You are the Supreme Abode, the supreme goal of existence. Pavitram, and you are the Supreme Pure. Paramam. Paramam means supreme. You are the Supreme Pure. When we chant the holy name of Sri Krishna, we are associating with the Supreme Pure. In Krishna consciousness, we are not trying extraneously to purify ourselves. You know, like, let's meditate, we'll clear the mind, and this sort of thing. No. You go to Krishna, he is the Supreme Pure. He'll clean you up real quick. This is the principle of bhakti yoga. You don't go anywhere else. You see, that's gyan. That's the difference between gyan and bhakti. Gyan and vigyan. Gyan means some knowledge, but vigyan means experienced knowledge, practical knowledge, Application of knowledge. Application of knowledge is knowing that if I will associate with Sri Krishna, I will become purified. There's nothing more purifying than Krishna. That's all I need. I don't need to make any other adjustments. You understand what I'm saying? Just go to Krishna. Sarvadharmam parityaja. Give up all your other processes, all your other religions, all your other dharmas, all your other obligations. Go to me, Krishna says. Mame kam sharanam braja. Krishna is not an ordinary person. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, Arjuna says, paramam purusham shashvatam divyam. You are the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, purusham. Divyam means transcendental. He is present. We may not see him with these eyes, but he is present. He can reveal himself just as he revealed himself to Arjuna. Purusham shashvatam divyam adidevam. You are the origin of all Godhead. Adidevam. Indra is not the supreme Lord. You cannot worship all these different gods and think that you're worshiping, they're all the same. Adidevam. You are the origin of everything. You are the original Godhead. Ajam means you are unborn. You don't never take birth. You may appear in this material world and then go off again. Just like someone may go into a prison and visit someone and then they go off. That doesn't mean that they're a prisoner. Krishna comes into his own material energy and plays sometimes. He has his lila. And then he goes off. Doesn't mean that he has become a human being. Ajam vibhum. Greatest of the great. So this is Krishna. And this is what the topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam are. Now, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the smiling lotus face of Sri Krishna. We compare, in an allegorical way, Krishna's Srimad Bhagavatam to the form of Krishna. So the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the lotus feet of Krishna. Now, understand that there is no distinction, really, between the lotus feet of Krishna and the beautiful smiling face of Krishna. Krishna is Krishna. Angani yasya sakalendriya priya. All of his different limbs and senses are all transcendentally interchangeable. It is very good to see and take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. But the smiling face of Krishna has special significance. Srila Prabhupada always used to say, don't try to jump to the smiling face of Krishna without first taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. In other words, this is the mature study of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not children's stories. Srila Prabhupada, I remember we were walking on the roof of Mayapur one time, and he said, people should not think that Vyasadeva is telling some children's stories. He's a greatest philosopher. Bakasura, he's not telling stories like this. This is Leela. You see? So this Govardhan Leela in this understanding. So the inhabitants of Vrindavan, led by Nanda Maharaj, because he is chief cowherdsman, they are Vaishyas. They're taking care of the cows. That's their business. That's their activity. Krishna says other activities of the Vaishya, they can be business people, they can be bankers, they can be merchants, and they can perform cow protection. So mostly in Vrindavan, the cowherdsmen, they're taking care of the cows. And they were arranging to perform a sacrifice at the foot of Govardhan Hill. And anyone who has any elaboration, feel free to give your 2 cents. It's okay. I read this again last night because every time I tried to make some presentation for the devotees here. But there's so much to elaborate on. Anyway, they're preparing the sacrifice for Lord Indra because Indra is the demigod who provides the rain. And remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that less intelligent people, they go to the demigods for some benediction, not knowing that it is me who actually provides that benediction. In other words, Krishna is the permitter. He allows everything to take place. He is the supreme controller. Eko bahunam jova dadati kama. Nothing can take place without the sanction of Krishna. You see? So, he says himself that less intelligent people, they go to the demigods for some benediction, not knowing that it is me, Krishna, who is giving those benedictions directly. You see? So they're going to Indra, they want to perform some sacrifice, and they're preparing the sacrifice. And Krishna was appearing as a little seven-year-old at that time. And he said, why are you making this sacrifice to Indra? He's questioning them. And they're saying, well, because Indra, he is giving us rain, and rain provides the grasses for the cows, and our whole economy and culture is based on rain, like this. And Krishna, by his mystic yoga, he is playing with them. He said, yes, but it is Govardhan. It is Govardhan that is giving the reins. Let me put this on vibrate. I have to do a hip replacement later on today. The Govardhan is providing the rain and is providing the grasses for the cows. You should make this offering to Govardhan. And he used so many different arguments. Krishna is juggling like this. He said, after all, it is your good deeds that brings about the result. What do you need Indra for? So basically, Krishna is pissing off Indra. Intentionally. He's doing it on purpose. Indra is a devotee, but prone to forget, and sometimes covered because of Leela. But he's pissing off Indra. Because Indra, he likes to enjoy, just like everyone else in the material world. And he's enjoying sacrifices like this. And Krishna says to them, he uses this Karma Mimamsa philosophy, that whatever activity you have, there's no need for Indra. You will get the result of that good activity. That is Karma Mimamsa. In other words, there is no permitter, there is no God. Action and reaction. Karma Mimamsa. You get the result of your activity. You see, this is a conception. And Krishna playing with him like this. And he, using so many arguments, and finally he says, you should offer to Govardhan. And Nandamara said, well, we can offer to Govardhan later on, but let us do this first for Indra. Krishna said, no, it is urgent matter. And he's just a little boy, seven. And they're thinking, oh, this is important then. So they're listening to Krishna and immediately taking up like this. And they decided, okay. And Krishna told them what to do. He told them to make so many sweets and so many savories and anakuta, so grains and so many preparations. And he told them that they should have the Brahmins perform Vedic sacrifices, and that everyone would be fed by the prasad like that, as we'll discuss. And so they performed this big sacrifice, cooking so many foods, and the Brahmins reading prayers and performing fire sacrifice. And then Krishna, he had Govardhan appear in a great form to eat all of the sacrifices. So this is where Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet he is having Govardhan act as God to accept the sacrifices. So it is a very peculiar leela in that way, that even today the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they circumambulate Giriraj, Govardhan Hill, which is a long, you know, maybe 18 kilometers, something like that, walk. And they take that Govardhan Giriraj is God. Krishna is our friend. Krishna is our lover. Krishna is our this, our that. Rasa, Leela, like this, taking place. But Govardhan is God. So in other words, in the Brajbasi mentality, and there may be some sahajism in some of this today, but the mentality is like this. Krishna is not God to the Brajbasis. He is their dearmost child, friend, lover, master, whatever. You understand? But Giriraj, the hill itself is God, as displayed when he took the sacrifices. So much so that even Sanatan Goswami, some 500 years ago at the time of Mahaprabhu, he would every day, even though he got very old and decrepit, he would walk around Govardhan Hill every day. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he felt that this was too much for this old devotee to do, his dear devotee, Sanatan Goswami. And so he took one rock of Govardhan and he imprinted his footprint into it so that he said, no, you just simply walk around this rock. That will be sufficient. That rock is at the Radha Damodar temple today. Whether true or not, I don't know. But we can see the rock. But the mentality is like that. As Srila Prabhupada describes in the commentary here, that even today, devotees sometimes, they will take some stone from Govardhan and they will worship it as Giriraj, you see. So the mentality is that this is not Vaikuntha, where God is worshipped with awe and reverence. Oh, he is God, therefore I worship him. No. He is Krishna. He is my love. He is my life. And therefore I want relationship with him. You understand? It is a different mentality in Vrindavan than in Vaikuntha, than in Dwarka. You see? This is Vrindavan. This is the mentality of that sweetness of Krishna consciousness that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give to us. You see, even though we may not be the highest yogis in the Kali Yuga, we may be the most fallen souls, still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give the highest. Therefore, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema Pradayate. He came to give Krishna consciousness, Krishna Prema, to the inhabitants of Kali Yuga. He is the most merciful, most giving appearance of the Lord, you see. So in this way, the sacrifice was made. Govardhan, in the form of a large personality, ate the prasadam. And then Krishna ordered them to distribute it to the Brahmins, to the cows, to the dogs, to the dog eaters, everyone. Everyone got fed. This is the anakuta, the distribution mentality of Govardhan puja, you see. And Srila Prabhupada, he describes in here that everyone is important. That in Krishna consciousness, everyone can benefit. Everyone should be taken care of. Not just the Brahmins or whatever, you see. Everyone benefits. And then they went home with their cows and the cowherds people, the gopis, the cowherd men. Now remember that they're coming and going to see Krishna. It is not that they are forgetting Krishna while they are away from Krishna. You understand? That is not possible. That is not possible in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everything is conscious. Everything is conscious and everything is Krishna conscious. The gopis love that environment. You see, even when Krishna is away from Vrindavan, they're still absorbed in that consciousness. When Krishna will come to Kurukshetra, they're trying to pull him back to Vrindavan because it's that environment of consciousness, of Krishna consciousness, of sweet love and affection that is so attractive to them. And that's the way that Krishna fits in to their whole mentality, their whole consciousness, you see. And so when they're away in Vrindavan and he may be in Govardhan or whatever, they're always thinking of Krishna with love, you see. This is something I've been meditating on a little bit myself lately. That, for example, Arjuna. Arjuna, sometimes in the Bhagavad Gita, people will take the Gita to think, oh, I must perform my duty. That is a lower conception of what Gita is about. It's true, Krishna says, you should perform your duty, and then if you perform your duty without attachment, that's okay. But higher than that is to offer the fruits of your labor to me, and higher than that, and higher than that. You understand? There are lower and higher conceptions. Arjuna did not fight out of duty. Arjuna fought out of love. Arjuna agreed to serve Krishna out of deep love and affection. And similarly, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they're serving Krishna all the time, never forgetting him, no matter where they are. And so, all of a sudden, Indra, his ego was very, very big at that time. And he has so much power and control. He's the big boss of all the demigods, Indradev. And so he said that, I want my Shyamvantaka clouds, which are the powerful clouds at the time of dissolution, to rain upon Vrindavan and to punish the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and that upstart Krishna, who is just a little boy, for not allowing the sacrifice to come to me. You see? And even the clouds did not want to do this because there were cows there. They don't want to injure the cows. Even they had that sense. But Indra said, no. I will come on my elephant carrier, Vahana, and we will chastise Vrindavan Basis for not giving the sacrifice to me and for listening to this little boy, Krishna. And so the rains came, and hail, and heavy winds. It was cold. And it's described in the Krishna book, you couldn't even see any land, what was high and what was low. Everything was flooded by these rains. And what are devotees? Devotees, they have no other shelter, no other refuge than Krishna. Even though they're not thinking that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still they know, I have nowhere to go but Krishna. You see? This mentality of Vrindavan. He is their guardian. When the cowherd boys went into the mouth of Agasura, and there was this big cave-like demon, then they walked in fearlessly, and they thought, oh, this cave may actually be the mouth of a demon, and it may kill us, but it cannot kill Krishna. This mentality. If I am with Krishna, I am okay. Nothing will harm me. You see? And in the same way, all of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they came, the cows came, the cowherdsmen came. Nanda Maharaj, they didn't go to Nanda Maharaj. Oh, Nanda Maharaj, you are the chief cowherdsman here. You are the king of the cowherdsmen. You protect us. No, they all went to Krishna, including Nanda Maharaj. And all of the cows came along. And Krishna has to give protection to his devotee. It is his promise. And Mame Kam Sharanam Braja. Ma-shucha. Ma-shucha means, don't worry. Krishna is not ordinary. He has the capacity to protect. And so, Krishna said, all of you come and you stand underneath this umbrella that I will make. And with his small left finger, he lifted up Govardhan Hill, which is very long, not as wide as long. He lifted it up like an umbrella with his left hand, 7 years old. and holding it up above the cowherdsmen and the cows and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis, the cowherds people, the cowherd boys. They all looked at him. In fact, there's some of the paintings you'll see. Some of the cowherdsmen, they're trying to hold up the hill with their sticks because they're thinking, oh, it's going to fall. And for 7 days and seven nights, Krishna held up Govardhan Hill while the flood was taking place and the rains were coming. And all of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they did not sleep. They did not have thirst. They did not have hunger. They simply stood there in amazement watching Krishna hold the hill up like this. 7 days. And then Indra, he thought, oh, what have I done? Oops. And then he called to the clouds to desist, go away. And the waters went down. And then Krishna perfectly replaced the hill in place. Now this is, you know, a very wonderful leela. People may say, well, how is that possible? Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita that all of the universes are created from a spark of his splendor. This is a piece of cake for Krishna. How are all the planets staying in orbit and gravity is taking? Why are we not going flying off of the planet? You know, it's spinning at 25,000 miles an hour and we're just sitting here. How come we don't go flying off into space? Gravity, all of these forces are from Krishna. So lifting the hill and putting it down is not difficult for Krishna. But when he put it down, then Indra came, and with folded hands he offered his prayers and prayed for forgiveness. And many of the demigods were present, the chadanas, the cities, and they were throwing flowers upon Krishna. And the Sarabi cows came, and they these transcendental cows, they were inundating Krishna with milk and also water from the Ganges coming down, mixing together like this. They bathed Krishna. And this leela of Govardhan Puja like this for us to remember. But the important point is to remember all of it. Not just that, oh yeah, I can just go through life, you know, willy-nilly, you know, unconscious, illusion, self-egocentric, and think that, oh, when trouble will come, I can go to Krishna. That's not the purpose of this leela. The purpose of this leela is to understand everything. Take it all in. You see, Srila Prabhupada, he giving us much more than just the Sunday preacher. You don't want to go to hell, you serve God. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is our original consciousness. As it is uncovered, it is Krishna consciousness. That is Sanatana Dharma. Krishna consciousness is not an imposition upon the soul that the soul will be Krishna conscious by cultivation and whatnot. It is the original consciousness of the soul. You see? It will be revealed. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. The consciousness is covered like with dust. And as it's cleared away, then Krishna consciousness will manifest. The chanting of the holy name will take on more clear and more purified reality to you. Not because the holy name is more purified, but because your consciousness is getting in tune with bhakti yoga, you see, with devotional service. And so we want to give that kind of message on Govardhan Leela, Govardhan Puja Day, that everything in life without Krishna is zero. It is zero. All of the hard work, the money you earn, at the end of life, you have nothing to show for it. Yes, you can give it to your children and they can squander it, but it's zero to you. Everything that you do in this world, is zero unless you put a one before it. Then it becomes valuable. Then it becomes valuable. Then it becomes a means for elevation. You see, this is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not a withdrawal from everything. Krishna consciousness is a recognition through transcendental knowledge that everything is Krishna's property. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Ruchite. This is Krishna consciousness. Our senses belong to Krishna. They are not my property. Even the material senses, what to speak of the spiritual senses. The material senses, the eyes to see. If the eyes are not able to see Krishna within things, or to see the beautiful form of Krishna, they're useless. If the ears cannot hear something about Krishna, little pain is coming from that. You see? If the tongue cannot taste prasadam, cannot perceive Krishna's mercy within foodstuff, then it's just lust that we're eating. Everything with the hands, even the genital, to have children for Krishna, everything can become Krishnized. This is a Krishna-centric existence, and that's bhakti yoga. That's what Vrindavan is all about. That's what Vrindavan is all about. It is a Krishna-centric existence. It's not that Krishna is always present before me in his beautiful form, but I can remember him, and I can serve him, and I can, through my love, I can perceive him always. You see, this is the Vrindavan mentality that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. You see? How to make everything spiritualized. The material world, after all, it is Krishna's energy. It is not anything else but Krishna's energy. And all of the jiva souls, mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, they're all Krishna's parts and parcels. Everywhere you look at everything that's living and at every bit of energy, whether you take it from Bhagavad Gita through the Virata Purush, that the eyes of the Virata Purush, the moon and the sun, are his eyes, to remember Krishna. Rasoham apsu kaunteya, that Krishna is the taste of water. And Krishna will give you so many ways to remember him. How greedy you are to want to remember him is a product of your cultivation, you see? And how you will think of Krishna, it will be dependent on your own realizations as well. Ye yatamam prapadyante tangs tataiva bhajamyaham. One person may be thinking of Krishna in this way, one person may be thinking of Krishna in that way. When you drink water, what are you thinking of? Oh, that is Krishna. What is Krishna? Is it the name Krishna? Is it the beauty of Krishna? Is it the form of Krishna? Is it the deity of Krishna? What is it? Which Krishna is it? You see, that will depend on your own realization, you see. But you want to take that Krishna into your heart, because this way you're becoming Krishna-centric. Then all of your activities are no longer mundane. All of your activities, they become yoga. Yoga means linking up with God. That's what yoga is. Yoga means linking up with God. Yoga does not mean merging into God and losing your existence. That is a lower conception of yoga. It is a conception that is founded on frustration. I cannot enjoy material life, therefore let me become nothing. Now that we don't accept. That is a very low conception of spirituality. The higher conception of spirituality, as described throughout the Vedas, is this conception, that you become linked up with Krishna through knowledge and service, both. Through knowledge and service, both. So, for example, if you want to associate with Krishna, immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the opportunity to do that through remembrance of the holy name. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Very easy and very pertinent and immediate is this opportunity to associate with God simply through his holy name. And just as in Vrindavan, the gopis and the cowherd's boy and Yashoda, they're all chanting the glories of Krishna and chanting the holy name. The holy name descends from Goloka. It is not from this world. Don't think that this is a material process through which you can adopt it for a while and then abandon it later on. No. It is the means and it is the end both. That is bhakti yoga. That is Sanatana Dharma. You perform it now while you are embodied within this temporary human form, and you perform it later in the spiritual world, wherever you are. The process is the same. It never ends. Simply the sweetness of it becomes more and more clear. You know, we've heard this example of taking sugar cane and putting it through a press. I remember the first time I went to India, I got so sick drinking sugar cane juice on the street, you know, with the water cleaning the glasses and everything. But it's so sweet. You take and they press the sugar cane juice and they collect it and they throw some ice in from God knows where, little bit of lime. And then you drink this and you think, boy, they don't have this in the United States. Then you get sick from the water. But the sugar cane juice is so sweet. And if you take that sugar cane juice and you boil it, and you boil off the water, gradually it becomes thicker, maybe it becomes molasses, whatever. Finally, it becomes rock candy, which is the concentrated sweetness of the sugar. That's the holy name. You're chanting it now, and little sweetness coming. But as chanting will go on, without offense, we hope, then gradually, that holy name will become more and more manifest. Just like Haridas Thakur, chanting 300,000 times a day. He's not chanting because it's painful. Oh, I have to do another 300,000 names today. Oh, what will I do? I could be out gallivanting. No. It's so sweet to Haridas Thakur to chant the holy name Hare Krishna. So sweet to him. So sweet to him that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came to visit Haridas Thakur every day with prasadam. Attracting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unbelievable. This is Namacharya. You see? So, I'm leaving time for discussion. Questions and discussion and contributions. Yeah.
George Harrison mentioned that he thought Srila Prabhupada was the most masterful musician he ever met. And George Harrison's a pretty good musician himself, so I think that's a good authority. Prabhupada
is the best musician. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada, he appreciated bhajan. Not everyone appreciates bhajan like that. So he could play harmonium, but he's not thinking harmonium like it's some instrument like that. It is an accompaniment. You understand? The musical instrument itself is not the key. It's the bhajan. The bhajan, you see? And like that. Because there's no hard and fast rules for chanting. You have one too.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
You can be a rock star someday.
Right. I was hoping that you might be able to elaborate. I'm quite confused about the mood of the Rajbasis.
Rajbasis.
In this pastime, it makes sense where in the lower rasas, you would naturally look to Krishna for protection. But in the higher rasas, like you even mentioned, like Nanda Maharaj himself, like you, or Yashoda, like she's looking to
take care of Krishna.
So to have something like that and then go to Krishna for protection, it's quite. I'm in Maya, so I was hoping you could.
No, what you say is true. These are different different times, though. So Krishna also teaching, you know, what does he say? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam tadharmasya tadatmanam srijam yaham paritranaya sarunam vinachaya chatushkitam. Krishna comes and he appears in this world. He has a particular purpose in mind. And Krishna is all-knowing. You know, Krishna, you know, his place is in the spiritual world. You know, you don't go someplace if people don't like you. And Krishna coming here to save the pious souls. So Krishna showing through this lila how the pious souls should act in difficult situations. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that the Brajbasis are not forgetful of Krishna, and then all of a sudden when some danger comes, then they forget Krishna, then they remember Krishna. They're always thinking of Krishna. The whole environment is spiritual. But when something comes, they go to Krishna, they don't go to Nanda Maharaj for protection. In other words, one of the signs of surrender is that Krishna is your only protector. You see? He is your guardian, he is your protector. And the reason I started off discussing the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to help us remember, who is Krishna? What are we talking about here? In other words, when Shukadeva Goswami says that I am simply amazed that this Supreme Personality of Godhead is carrying the sandals upon his head of Nanda Maharaj to bring the sandals to Nanda Maharaj, crawling on the floor in Vrindavan. You see? He's pointing out that Krishna is carrying sandals upon his head to give to his father. But who is this Krishna? He is the supreme creator of everything, the sustainer of everything, the maintainer of everything, the dearmost friend of every jiva soul. And he's carrying sandals upon his head. Very wonderful thing. You see? This is Krishna Lila. So Krishna is giving us, and the devotees who are elaborating upon it, like Shukadeva Goswami, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamala, and they're making it so much sweeter, you see, to help us understand, you know, what is Krishna. So he is the supreme absolute truth. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, nothing is existing outside of him. And you could say, well, how is it that Indra could forget? After all, Krishna is the supreme controller. How is it that Brahma could forget? Brahma Mohan Lila, you know? And steal away the cows and the cowherd boys. This is Lila. Krishna can do everything. But he's showing these things to us. Paritranaya sadhunam. So that the pious souls, they will get an opportunity to come home, back to Godhead. You see? Some souls are rising and some souls are diving down in the material world. And Krishna is coming to save the pious souls and showing vanquishing. If not vanquishing, you see him vanquishing. They are being vanquished by death. Kalosmi lokakshaya krit. Just like in Virata Purusha, all of the soldiers are going into the mouth of the universal form and being eaten up, gnashed up. I don't know how better I can say. I don't have any capacity beyond that. Anyone else have any discussion, any questions, anything? Oh, we can have some kirtan, it's okay. For about 15 minutes, then we'll have some announcements.